Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Secret Weapon Miniatures closes.
Oh.
They announced that a bit ago, but now we know why.
Okay.
Mm. Teiburu is still a thing.
Okay.
So the imminent release of the interactive game system. A not the best edition of the Cypher system OGL. So they just announced they're going to do an open game license.
Okay.
And Saudi Arabia invests in the Embracer Group.
Oh.
So they just made a big purchase
of
a stake in Embracer. So now that all the forces of evil are coalescing behind this this Lovecraftian nightmare.
Kind of. Well, I was going to say it's bizarre, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, that's been a thing they've been doing for a while, gaming. So we'll talk about that. So let's start out with something a little bit easier. Or actually, this is the worst news. Actually, this is the saddest thing first. So Secret Weapon Miniatures, they do some amazing bases, custom bases, paints and things. They have like dungeon tiles.
Oh, nice.
They do a lot of things for wargaming and miniatures. And they announced in August of last year that they would be closing. So on Facebook, they said after 12 years, it looks like we're going to be shutting our doors. And this is based on a dispute that we now know some details of. We don't know the full, I guess because it's still in litigation, we don't know the full situation, but now we know what happened.
Okay.
So there was a dispute. There was a Kickstarter campaign for their HD bases. So they do very detailed scenic bases of all different sizes, basically for, you know, Warhammer and just about any, you know, 32 or 28 mil. Games, and they had a successful Kickstarter. They went to fulfill it and got claimed. The IP was claimed by Troll Trader. So Troll Trader TT Combat is claiming that's their intellectual property, and there's no way they can actually be selling those and be generating money. And so that makes it impossible for them to fulfill this project, because I guess they went to Kickstarter and they just shut it down. So the project was totally ruined. But I don't know what happened to the funds. They didn't say.
All right, I don't know what happens to funds when Kickstarter shuts something down.
Yeah, like when that. They claim. Yeah.
I would have assumed they get returned to.
I would imagine, yeah, that if they're not going to disperse them, they go back, probably minus a fee.
That's what I imagine. So okay, as someone who's kind of just hearing about this, I guess what you said, it was Troll Trader who brought the claim.
Mm-hmm.
Are they claiming that the bases put out by this company are identical to ones they developed?
Well, it's a little confusing because Troll Trader doesn't look like they do anything original.
Okay.
They're just a online shop because they sell, you know, Warhammer, Age of Sigmar, and everything. And they have a pretty big presence like on eBay and things. And they also sell Secret Weapon miniature bases, and they are still selling them.
Okay.
So maybe at some point there was some confusion that they had bought the rights to that design and the company still existed and there was some misunderstanding. Well, we don't know those details.
Right, okay.
But there was just so Troll Trader just shut down this Kickstarter, and that made it impossible for Secret Weapon to continue. So they just said, yeah, that's it. We're done. So they still – so the owner or the kind of – person that's speaking for the company said they can't do any work as Secret Weapon anymore. They contracted out for things that are remaining in their warehouse, which doesn't include bases. It's their paints and dungeon tiles.
Right.
So those are still available for purchase. I don't know, the fund may go. But what happened was, because of this
dispute,
thank you, for the dispute with the Kickstarter, they lost those funds and then defaulted on a loan that they had. So a bank loan with US Bank, I guess, was defaulted on, and that was it. That was it for the company. So they are claiming, Secret Weapon is claiming that the claims are completely false. So there's no basis in reality for this, but the damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even matter, like, if they are redeemed because the company's gone.
I'm not saying this is what Troll Trader did, because we don't have details, but this kind of sounds like one of the cases where, like, because, yeah, they didn't get the money and they defaulted on a loan. As you said, it kind of doesn't matter whether Secret Weapon Miniatures is right or wrong, because they're not going to have the funds to pay for legal fees.
Right.
To
right.
take this to court.
Right? Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or to, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, there's no, you know, recourse. So they try, and the frustrating thing, too, is, so this doesn't seem to be in completely good faith, because Secret Weapon reached out to Troll Trader and said, okay, if you really believe this, then let us pay for a license for this property that you own so we can get this Kickstarter fulfilled. And they said, no. So that doesn't sound like a good faith. It just sounds like they want to, you know, eliminate something. Yeah, it that sounded pretty miserable. But yeah, there was a statement released. So as an update on the failed campaign, Justin McCoy posted a statement basically explaining the situation that they are default in their debts to U.S. Bank. And so that means that U.S. Bank owns the Secret Weapon IP. Hmm. And until, you know, that can be settled. And they have not been posting any public posts or comments about this until this point because of the ongoing situation. Right. So people were really, you know, freaked out. They didn't know what was going on because just suddenly radio silence. Mm-hmm. And now the company, you know, announced that they're closing. So yeah, still their paints and dungeon tiles are available on the site, and they'll be shipped out. There'll be a shipment once a week. So they're just going to go through remaining. So if you really liked some of their stuff, this is probably the last chance, you know, to get any of it. And yeah, so the last line of the update, it is with the great sadness that I can say little and do less.
Right.
So very sad to see the end of that. And now it doesn't even matter what the truth is because, you know, those little bit of shenanigans, you know, destroyed the company. So there's no way to, I mean, so the IP still exists. So it could resurrect at some point if somebody, you know, buys it from US Bank. I guess that, that brand could exist again someday, but as for right now, as Secret Weapon, as we know it, and, you know, 12 years, that's pretty good for a tabletop company. I think they were doing mostly everything online. You know, they were and doing original stuff. So, yeah, those are the dangers of Kickstarter, I guess, is you can get somebody to complain and totally.
I don't know if it's a danger of Kickstarter. It's kind of a danger of, well, unless you apply to like the entire legal system, because I mean there has to be some kind of recourse. Otherwise, people going like that's mine.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure Kickstarter is a little bit skittish. Like anybody complains, they're just like, oh, shut it down. Yeah. So whereas legally it would have probably been in the works for a little while. Yeah. So yeah, that's too bad. But yeah, so if you were a fan, we can all mourn now the passing of Secret Weapon Miniatures. Right. And strangely enough, if you go to Troll Trader, all of their bases are still available there. Yeah,
they're probably still in stock.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we'll see what that means. And I guess they're going to then be in conflict with U.S. Bank if they're going to keep producing that stuff under that name, because that name doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know.
It's very odd. So there'll be another IP dispute to look forward to. So Troll Trader lives up to their name, right?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. As I don't know anything that much about either of these companies, I'm reserving judgment. But
right. All right. Well, another company that has a product with a very odd, I don't understand why companies do this, very odd name. So we talked about these guys a couple of years ago, I think.
It's not recent.
Yeah, because the Kickstarter was successful and their fulfillment date was so far in the future. I think it was like 2020 or 2021, and the fulfillment is next year still.
Well, better to
yes, that's
promise
true.
Something far away and then
yeah, do it and it's technology. It's technology too. So you know that is, there's much more testing and perfecting of manufacturing than there is for just, you know, board games in plastic. But Taburu, so the weird kind of katakana pronunciation of table. So this is an Italian company named Explored, and they have some kind of veterans of the interactive toy business where toys are talking to toys with chips in them, to video games or
now I'm thinking of the horrible movie Small Soldiers, but continue.
Right. Like, there was a Disney had one for a while, Disney Infinity.
Oh,
The Sky Chaser, Sky Bounder, something.
I want to say Skylander or something.
Skylander, like that. Yeah, that
and
was it.
The were also kind of similar to like the Nintendo ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. The
Amiibo
the Amiibos with it. Yeah, you can save stuff right to those. Yeah, so they're getting close to fulfillment. So the beginning of next year, they're going to start fulfilling on their Kickstarter, which was a bit of an odd Kickstarter because they weren't just selling the technology. They were selling miniatures and these expansions to a game that nobody had ever played. And it was odd. But this was just basically to promote their technology. Huh. And they also gave you they had a developer's pack or something where they gave you like whatever you need to like source code or whatever right. to let you develop your own games for this platform. So, yeah, they may just be, as much as we're dismissing them right now, the future of board games and tabletop.
Well, maybe.
But it's, I don't know, it doesn't sound all that convincing. So the big thing that they're solving is, you know, kind of the bookkeeping, randomization, and maybe even like setup, you know, for some things that you would be doing on the tabletop. So what the system exists or consists of is a tablet, mm-hmm. and which is just a sensitive piece of plastic that plugs in, or I think it actually is a like Bluetooth, like okay. it connects wirelessly. And then there are bases with LEDs that clip onto miniatures and wireless dice. Mm-hmm. As opposed mm-hmm. to the wired version. Yeah, okay, yeah. So if you roll on this tablet, it knows what you rolled on the dice. It knows the location of the miniatures if they're on these bases. And different conditions and things can have different colored lights mm-hmm. and things to indicate what's going on. So instead of like some of the other options that are out there, like Square One, which is like a giant iPad right, that you're okay. interacting with, and it can display graphics and things. This is just a sensor tablet, basically, that you can print out a standardized page for, like a standardized grid map mm-hmm. for, and interact with that. So, you know, basically they could just send you a PDF, you print it out on your printer and lay it on top of this tablet. So that does lend itself a little bit more to indie development yeah, and, sure. you know, homebrew kind of stuff. So they're blending kind of digital gaming with, you know, what we're getting used to is with a companion app. Mm. And that's also what we're doing is we're connecting it to a phone or a tablet. So the device...
Spit something out here, yeah.
Yes, yeah, right. So the device is still doing that. And people are seeing that as some sort of future, but there's such a limitation and such a unknown about what's going to happen to these smartphones. You know, so this isn't a long-term solution because it's relying on smartphones kind of staying the same. And I don't know if they will.
All right. It's funny. I pulled out an old phone I had and... tiny.
Right.
But I mean, like, I imagine, okay, if they were giving, not if they were giving, but I imagine there is something, right? You, mm-hmm. They'd have to, like, update, you know, put some new update, like, okay, here's the new thing we're using. We've updated our right. software, and who knows what's going to happen with this, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, well, this was a thing, so I did an unboxing for the Return to Dark Tower, and that's the thing that they do, is the tower doesn't do anything by itself. You have to link it to a phone or a device. And then, you know, the app will do all the randomization and all the cues. And you can do all the, you know, the difficulty settings and everything. So the tower by itself just kind of lights up. It just kind of like turns on and off. There's not even like a demo mode or anything. So it has to be connecting to. So that means there has to be software that has to be updated, mm-hmm. that has to be going through a Google or an Apple app store. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a device that will run the current version. And you'll probably be doing like firmware updates onto mm-hmm. the tower. So that's not solving a lot. I mean, I guess like that solves like, you know, writing down some numbers or drawing some cards.
I am by no means a Luddite, but for me, like, what does that solve? Like, it yeah. seems like, I don't know, it kind of seems like you're solving problems that don't really exist. Or because, all right, apart from the dice, mm-hmm. right, wireless dice as opposed to wired dice, like, okay, accessibility, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
okay, I've kind of scoffed at them, but like, things like Braille dice or dice that will like connect to an app and read you the number right. that they've rolled or something right. like, okay, I get that. That's cool. Like kind of not leveling the playing field, but kind of breaking down barriers mm-hmm. so that everybody would be able to play.
Right.
That's usually not what happens, right? It's usually these like flashing lights and like, ooh, look at these edge lights and it'll play a sound when you roll a certain number. Right. And I'm just like, I guess, right? But right. I, unfortunately, like, accessibility aids are not popular, right? Mm-hmm, they're not things like you kind of got to do the fancy thing
right.
to fund for the regular model. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that's true. This would, for you know, various disabilities, this would give you access. And that's what they're trying to say, is that this is going to create, you know, it's fewer barriers to a tabletop experience. But actually, there's a lot of, like, if you're older, you can't interact with that technology anyhow. Ooh. So it becomes an insane barrier. So, so this is happening and it's coming out, and there's already some competition in this space. And I think the key to their success is going to rely on either a huge, like, homebrew kind of indie development, or them, you know, working with Asmodee or some really big names to do, you know, officially licensed right. overlays and software for this device. So I don't know. Garofalo, the head of the company Explored, says the problem with board games. So they competitors and their previous experience with interactive toys, I guess, is what he's referring to here. So these toys didn't last long because the physical parts were just a plastic receipt of your purchase. The interaction was still just with a gamepad. Nothing really did any haptic interaction or physical of the physical good with the software. Hmm. So that's what they're trying to do by having the interactive dice and moving the pieces. The technology and the physical thing are linked much right. more, where it's not just this is your, you know, save. This is how you save right, things, or right. this is how you change your costume or character just by switching toys. But yeah, so it sounds like there's a lot of potential there, but it's going to have to be embraced, and there's really going to have to be a need for it. And also that means, you know, the cost, it's going to have to, and the Kickstarter itself, I looked at it, and the pledge levels were, you know, starting at, you know, 150, 250, right. 300, 400, like really quickly. And you're investing in completely unknown technology that may, you know, at some point be suddenly not supported. Right. And so the apps drop off the app store and you have a piece of plastic with a USB cable on it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this doesn't sound like it's okay. I'd be interested to see what they do with it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like it's for me. However, like we've talked many times,
yes,
this sounds like exactly the thing for Kickstarter, right? This is kind of what Kickstarter is for. Like, we've got this new idea. We're not going to be able to produce it on our own. If it sounds cool to you, help us make it a reality, right? So not any kind of new cutting edge thing, but like with any tech, like it's going to start off expensive, and if it catches on, then.
Yeah, when they start to come down in price. Release. Yeah, right. So maybe they're avoiding some of the pricier things, like, you know, having an actual like large interactive tablet with a giant, you know, LCD inside is not exactly, that's never going to be affordable. So maybe this is a way to make interactive tabletop make more sense, but still having it tethered to a device is the thing, you know, to something out of your pocket with your fingerprints all over it, that what you're handing around.
I'm sure it goes to different, you can have it go to different phones and people would have different accounts. And I don't really understand the need to have it on a phone, right? Maybe it would have to display on something, right?
And that would also be the source of any sound effects or music or anything as well, which is never great. I mean, a phone.
Imagine if your phones aren't synced up and it's like four versions of the same.
Right.
Tavern song, all slightly out of tune. Right, he's like, "Oh, can we just kill those, please?"
Yeah. And I think the problem that has happened, and HeroQuest, the new Hasbro release of the HeroQuest, has this problem a little bit, where you can almost just play the game in the app. It's like, oh, I guess I could move the pieces to match what is on the app, but I'm basically playing the game.
Like I haven't really looked at it that much, but the new version of Descent
has a companion.
Somehow app integrated, people were either singing its praises or saying it was terrible. And I'm not going to buy it because it's not an unreasonable price. I'm not that much interested in it, right, for the price it is. But I wonder if it solves the problem of what you just said, like, why do we have these physical components when we could just play on our phone or iPad or whatever? And I get what Taboo, porn name to it, is doing in terms of, okay, let's really marry the physical and digital components, where like you have to physically move the pieces and then it'll update the stuff. That's kind of interesting, right? At least kind of, okay, I see more of a reason for these, if not a sole reason, but
So it is, and I think they're aware of that. It sounds like from the statement of the owner, it sounds like they're definitely aware of that needing to, there's be some synergy or some, you know, kind of things need to be going on that require both, and that they're both benefiting each other. But who knows if they'll successfully pull it off, but it hasn't been done yet. It hasn't been done well yet, because there was a whole system, a Golem Arcana or something. It had these miniatures with chips in them and had these boards and had this app. But all you were doing is updating the board to match what was happening in the app. So it was just like, okay, and that happened. So that, you know, there were AI enemies you were fighting, but you just looked on the app and, oh, okay, move him over here. Okay. So
right.
It's like, what we don't need this board. Yeah. So, and very quickly, you know, that
stuff disappeared.
Was being cleared out.
Now, I'm remembering something that I think was like cards, and not exactly the same thing, but mm-hmm. they had like a special borders around them so that if you looked at it with some kind of like AR
An
camera
app,
app mm-hmm. you got like a 3D version of whatever was on the card kind of sending up. And that's kind of cool. Not exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I think that, so they've been playing with, you know, what you can do on the tabletop with devices, but I don't know if we're there yet. Mm. So, but people will find out. We'll start to hear reviews and actually like hands-on stuff in April of next year.
Oh, cool.
So we'll see if this, and if there is, I mean, because it could catch on. This, if this is something that is very easy to develop for, and you can just upload PDFs, and you know, people can download, you know, your app and or you know whatever component
the
goes into the app.
For it, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever content that could be, it could be pretty interesting, but we won't know. Until next spring. So good luck with that. And they actually have to get these things, you know, physically in people's hands. So that should be still a challenge next year, I'm sure. Hmm. So good luck with that. All right. So our next segment, I got to be using these interstitials more. So here we go. One of our wonderful animations. Another edition of Not the Best.
Yeah.
So this time we're talking about Monte Cook Games' cipher system.
Which case, I think not the best. Being nice.
Yeah. Oh. So, of course, we know 5e is the best rule set ever made. So
Of course.
Yeah, because it's the world's greatest role-playing game. Mm-hmm. So anything under can't possibly be the
greatest.
Best.
Yeah, exactly.
But we had some news. They announced that they will have an open gaming license for their cipher system. And so it will go public this summer. And this is kind of based on the success they've had of the different games using the system that have been released. The most notable, and I think what it was developed for, was the Numenera game.
Which I think is on the second edition.
Oh, wow.
It's called Numenera. It's something else, where it's like an updated, recent version of the game. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, and they've also, they followed that up with The Strange, mm-hmm. First Responders, and I believe also the Appalachian game that was just kickstarted.
So, yeah.
That also was a cipher system. Game itself. So yeah, so capitalizing on that success, they are releasing an open game license, so people will be able to, you know, use everything in that document to develop their own games for, which they can, you know, market and sell. So yeah, based in so Monte Cook is based in Kansas. So the Kansas publisher is and also they did release a kid focused on RPG set called No Thank You Evil.
Oh yeah, which I do not believe is Cypher System.
Oh really? Okay. So that's just
I'm dead wrong, but the impression I got from No Thank You Evil was that it was not Cypher System.
Ah, okay. So maybe
it's something designed more for kids.
I see. Yeah, which would make sense. So if you don't know or never wanted to know anything about, so actually these games have been mostly successfully kickstarted.
Yep.
And if you don't know about the cipher system, so a little bit of detail. So it is, so characters are built from a concept. And so the concept is a descriptive sentence that provides an easy to understand overview of the character and a mechanical basis for skills, abilities, and stats. So basically an adjective, noun, who, verbs. No.
Okay, like, I'm not disagreeing. And like I said, this one of the games we reviewed, like, years ago mm-hmm. was Numenera.
Ah, yes.
And the adjective, verb, who, nouns, right, sounds really exciting to me. Like, it sounds like you would pull out these aspects very fate-esque. It is an adjective, verb, who, nouns, but those things you fill in might as well be, like, a quarter to half a page of kind of what I feel were like D&D style feat mechanics.
Ah, yes.
So
yes.
I'm a jack. No, an adjective or a quick jack who fights with two swords. Okay, quick gives you like two paragraphs of mechanical abilities.
Mm-hmm,
jack
mm-hmm.
is like the class type, right? Which might as well be a fucking bard.
Right.
And fights with two swords is again like a quarter to a half a page of mechanics. So all their touting of like,
yes,
it's intuitive. Like, no, the fuck it isn't, right? Like, it sounds great.
Yeah.
It was very much not what I was looking for.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, so that sentence is your basis for your concept. And so then from that, you choose an archetype. Yep. So you only have four You have to match one of these four. Yep. So adept, warrior, speaker, and kind of a catch-all explorer. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't make any more sense, then you're an explorer. You only have three stats. Yep. So might, speed, and intellect. So yeah, you may have already covered this, but those are actually pools that then if you take damage, you lose points from those pools. They do regenerate, but so you have things that can affect your speed, things that can affect your intellect, but mostly, basically, your HP is might. Yep. And you get edges, like one of your stats may have an edge, which means it costs less to use it to power.
Because that's the other thing you can do abilities. With pools. Mm-hmm. The pools represent hit points, and they are points you can spend mm-hmm. to basically buff up your rolls. So on paper, I think it sounds really interesting where mm-hmm. you've got these three pools and an interesting trade-off between spending them to be better at doing things mm-hmm. versus losing them when you suffer damage, right? It's kind of it sounds like it has this cool death spiral thing where you're like, oh, I've got to spend so many points to make sure I do this thing, but then if I get hit and whatever, and that's not really how that's how it works. But I felt the numbers were kind of off. It ended up being not as cool as I thought it would be.
Interesting. So the balance between the damage you would take or the points you would spend is not, the decision is not.
It didn't feel that meaningful. Yeah. And to be fair, this is based only on read through, right? I've never actually played. Mm-hmm. I was also real disappointed. Why not physical, mental, social? Have physical, mental?
Yeah.
Right? It's it just kind of shows you where Monty Cook's design thoughts are.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, social damage would be the worst.
Yeah, is it supposed to have a social character? Great. Why is there not a social pool point, right?
You're kicked off Twitter, basically.
Yeah, you are.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. And another favorite aspect of it for you. It's a D20 rollover system, and a target number is established by 1 to 10 times 3.
Yep, basically.
And the cipher of the name is kind of the one-time use bonus points that you get for, you get awarded for various reasons.
Little artifact things and stuff.
It gives you single use advantages to certain roles or situations.
And you also have the famous GM intrusions where the GM can just say, this thing happens. Here's your experience points. And it was cool where they gave you 2 points and you had to nominate another player to get the second point. So there were parts of it that were cool. They seemed like very clumsy compels.
Interesting. Yeah.
On paper, it looked great. It kind of felt like the execution for me was off, a lot of this stuff. Or it touted being as intuitive and kind of storytelling. And I'm like, no, it's not. This is crunchy as fuck. You just kind of glossed over some stuff with a coat of narrative paint.
Oh, interesting. So. Yeah, so they're calling it, in the description on their website, they were calling it Rules Light, but you probably wouldn't agree. Well, it's a little crunchier than you were.
It's crunchier than I would have liked. Mm-hmm. And if you are used to D20 style D&D, then yes, this is a good, I will cop to it, this is a good step away from that and towards more narrative systems, because the core of things are still kind of similar, right? Mm-hmm, so it's not, but different enough where you go, oh, okay, I'm getting a different experience. For people who start with story games and other kind of narratives, they look at this and go, what the fuck am I looking at?
Right. Well, that's a good point, though. I think a lot of these alternative systems that are done by bigger publishers that have experience in D&D are coming from that perspective. So, of course, it's not going to suit all gamers. You have to have come very interesting. So I guess we'll change the name of this segment instead of not the best to opening old wounds.
Ask me how I really feel about it.
Chris having to suffer through yet another thought through Numenera.
To be fair, it was also hard for me to divorce the system from the Numenera setting, was, in my opinion, bland as fuck, right? It's the everything kitchen sink, right? Mm-hmm. You're a nano, which is a wizard. It could be magic. It could be nanites in your blood. It could be. I'm like, well, then it's fucking nothing, right? If everything is open, you can't really have a defined setting. And it could be whatever you want. Well, then, So who knows? Maybe this SRD is great because there is no attached setting other than the elements of the four classes and these descriptive skill bits that you get. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's great things will come out of this because we've stripped off the Numenera setting.
Mm, interesting. So. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll see. And yeah, and then also making so that same system working with the kind of folk magic of that Appalachian setting.
I really wonder how that is going to work. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that is interesting. So yeah, we'll see some iterations of this, and maybe it will redeem itself.
So you could actually you can do commercial stuff with this license.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Okay. And it wasn't okay. I haven't seen the recent Cortex Prime license. I gotta imagine this is better than that. Like Monte Cook Games doesn't immediately own anything you make with this, right?
Right. Yeah. And the description was they were trying to do something a little bit more like Mjörkborg as far as the licensing to really get it the system out there and let people play around.
If they're doing it like Mjörkborg, I think you need to say here's a logo.
Yeah.
slap it on anything you made from Mjörkborg. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I thought that was a funny thing. We have to use those interstitials too. That not the best is so awesome. So yeah. So coming to an open game license near you is the Cypher system. So yeah, check that out if you want to do something that's not D&D, but is still D20.
Close to, but yeah.
Yeah. If any of those details sounded interesting to you, yeah.
Maybe not after I bashed. Yeah. Right. Sorry. I know there are people who like Cypher system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, I was kind of disappointed in how it was presented did not match up with what it actually was.
I see. Yeah. Which is probably the case because they have to make it tempting, especially when you're doing Kickstarters. Yep. You know, you really have to like,
I mean, Monty Cook can basically carry the stuff on his name.
Right. So. I just clicked the pledge button. I didn't even, I just said, Monty, what? Yeah. Right. All right. So let's
take
delve,
it down a notch.
Yeah, delve deeper into the evil that is, asset management companies. Oh. So we were just, informed that the kingdom, the country of Saudi Arabia has bought $1 billion chunk of the Embracer Group.
Do we know how much the Embracer Group is worth to get an idea of how much that $1 billion gets them?
That gives them an 8.1% stake.
Oh, so not a
not
lot.
Not huge. Yeah. So Embracer is not a BlackRock or whatever. They're not one of those $1 trillion yet. I mean, they're still growing. Those tentacles are reaching out. So they've made and they're calling this another investment in the video game industry. So for a while, Saudi Arabia has kind of had its eye on this business. And I think when it's started to shift to this games as service kind of thing, like how mobile games work and how a lot of the online games work, where they can live for a decade of just microtransactions and updates and skins and things. And so that they generate billions of dollars instead of that one-time purchase. So now the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has an 8.1% stake in the Swedish gaming behemoth Embracer Group. And that also is comics and, it's gaming tabletop and stuff. It's getting everywhere. So, and that's going to be so Savvy Gaming Group's through their whatever the shares were issued through Savvy Gaming Group. And that was how things were reported. And so the Embracer Group's CEO, Lars Vingefors, said that over the past few years, Saudi-based entities have become one of the most significant investors in the global gaming market. And the games market in MENA, the Middle East, North Africa, is one of the fastest growing with $5.7 billion in 2021. So I guess, the mobile and online is growing in that region as well. So that's what probably brought it to their attention. All their kids are the whales for Fortnite and everything. So, that's causing them to be much more active in investing and looking for companies in the U.S. and Western Europe. So, we don't know what this quite means, but, people aren't in love. You know, the companies that are being more aware of kind of being socially conscious and politically active are not really crazy about this. And Embracer Group has recently acquired a few studios. And there was a recent example of a tournament that one of the companies backed out on because of...
Who was sponsoring it?
So they were sponsoring it and a company backed out because of the... Their human rights and anti LGBT stances. It was making some some companies a little self-conscious of dealing with this kind of investment. So yeah, I mean, it's giving opportunities, but yeah, it's also making people a little bit worried about what this means and you know, who is actually funding it.
With an 8% share, I don't really think they'll be doing anything, right? This is my, I'm not an investor. My takeaway here is that it's just, okay, hey, let's diversify your portfolio a bit, right?
Right, right.
And the Embrace Group owns a lot of stuff. So it kind of seems like a decent purchase, right? Like you said, it's games, comics, it's probably got like distribution networks, and why not? So
And so companies that do that Saudi Arabia does have a piece of already include Nintendo, Capcom, Nexon, NSK. So and there has been pushback. Yeah, the pushback was specifically from Riot Games, which is surprising because they've had a lot of sexual harassment charges with in their company. But yeah, an esports partnership, they broke up because of the reputation of Saudi Arabia. And so what this also means is now game reviewers are going to have to be very careful about any Saudi-backed games, Saudi-funded games that they give bad reviews to, because as we know, in the in certain foreign consulates, you go in, but you don't come out. So we may have a whole level of danger now. So video game journalists are going to be this like new heroic kind of rogue-like.
No, I think they'll all just... Okay, I don't read video game reviews because I don't do video games. The few reviews I do seem to be like they're already pay for play.
So
it's just kind of like,
yeah. In Japan, especially, it's just like an open secret that it's like, yeah, they if you see the advertising on the front cover, yeah, that's going to be the best reviewed game, you know, in the issue. So yeah, and they've tried to avoid that, but I guess that industry just makes it so incestuous, and there's a weird between the press, game press, and game companies. You know, they're trying to make this impermeable membrane, but so many people go from game journalism to game developer or game exec. It's like, well, how does that happen? Just like how people jump between pharmaceutical companies and the government in the U.S.
Right.
Yeah, it's that same sort of thing that they just can't stop. Yeah. But so the Embracer, it gets darker. We're going to have to come up with a really dark graphic for this. It just gets darker
just
and weirder.
Just make the screen black.
Yeah, right, the screen. We should just,
just tentacles come down.
Everything just gets... So it's just getting uglier and uglier. So I'm looking forward to what North Korea and some other companies getting on board with Embracer.
Wow.
So we can have some real darkness. But yeah. So who knows? We'll keep updating you on all the misdeeds of this mysteriously named group. And it's so funny because they... they seem to be, you know, yay, this is great, and maybe we'll open a branch office in, you know, in the Middle East. And
well, they're the company. They kind of have to, like, everything they do has to be great.
Right, yeah, so. That's true, because the investors otherwise will get a little shaky. But yeah, I thought that was, so Saudi-based. So just when you thought China was the invading all of your entertainment, it turns out Saudi Arabia is pretty active in it too. So think of all those human rights you're violating when you watch your favorite entertainment.
Right. Ouch.
All right. Anyhow, so that will do it for this week.
Sweet.
And so we'll keep you posted. So where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. It's Hivemind, HYVEMYND. Instagram, too, which is basically only now little square lightbox photos of all the miniatures I'm putting together.
Nice.
That's what Instagram is for, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So have you used any glue recently, or is things still...
A little glue. Like I said, I've got a Stargrave Mercenary and Trooper sprue, because I just couldn't not buy them, arriving soon. So I haven't glued any more of the Starbarians or Stargrave crews together, because I kind of want to hold off and see what arms and stuff I get on those other sprues.
Right. Yeah.
But a few things are getting glued together. Yeah,
nice.
And blue tack. It's great for kind of like with the mock-up
thing. Oh, yeah.
And you're
like,
yeah, okay, that looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it looks, and it's very photographable too,
so
you can see the configurations. And like you were saying before, I'm so surprised how great the North Star minis, like the between even like the genres of fantasy.
Apart from like filing down like a nub on the head, they all fit together.
That's great. Yeah, so their scale, wonderfully consistent. Excellent.
So how about you?
So I am still doing a single panel gag cartoon that I do 2 a week, and I draw that on a live stream. So look for Abuse Cartoons on Twitch and YouTube. And you can watch me draw it, and as well as eat things from Japanese convenience stores. So
food, I hope.
Yes, yeah, mostly. So
the soap tastes a bit off.
And if you'd like to read that cartoon, you can go to gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you'd like to support what we're doing with the weekly, please visit patreon.com/upturntable and become a weakling.
Yeah.
We have that level, the strongest of all levels.
Yep, the strongest of all support. Levels, the weakling. Love it.
And I just changed our category on Twitch to talk show podcast.
Ooh.
I guess it's a new, I've never seen that before. Nice. So yeah, so maybe we'll actually get people watching us on Twitch a bit more because we're in the right category now.
Yeah.
So I have to remember to change that when we stream tonight because it's always something new. But yeah, so hopefully if you found us on Twitch, please give us a follow and you'll be notified of when we go live. And an upturn table for everything that we're doing on the website. And like we were talking about before the cast, the prologue for Chronopia is going to be live this weekend. So Saturday night, North American time, Sunday morning, in the Pacific. And if you want to see it now and in 4K, become a patron or a YouTube member.
Yep.
So click the join button below the video.
Somewhere.
And if you're listening to this audio version, I don't know where you're clicking. But so that'll give you access to that right away. And I'll be there in the chat when that premieres. So let us know how we did. And and there'll be more to come as far as lore videos and fiction and everything else. So that's it for this week.
Yep, cool. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.